Hey guys, as always, thanks for listening to the RR Podcast, and I do want to make one additional announcement this week. This week was supposed to be our interview with Kerrigan Mahan, but unfortunately due to life circumstances beyond our control, we had to push it back a week. So our interview should be next week instead of this week, so you have one additional week to get in all of your questions for him, all of your line requests that he can do in the voice of Goldar or Jeb or Magna Defender, anything really. If he's done a role, he can do it. He just needs to know ahead of time. So please get in your responses by next Tuesday so we can read them during the interview next Wednesday, and everything should be all nice and awesome, and we are very much looking forward to doing this. Sorry we had to delay it, but there really wasn't a whole lot that we could do, so bear with us, and hopefully we'll have a fun time next week. So, as always, thanks for listening, and let's get on with the show.
Welcome to the RR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello, welcome to our Season 5, Episode 12.
Oh my. Like, it's spelled like my?
Really?
Yes. I liked it. It put a smile on my face.
God. My face?
Yes. The social networking site. I put a smile up on my face.
I think Aerosol just quit.
He stormed out.
I imagine the old man avatar is just looking at his face.
That's what it looks like. Like, he heard "oh my," and he's like, "damn it!" Meanwhile, Brian's permanently got that kitten face on.
Damn straight. I am adorbs.
Oh my god. Yep, that's what happened.
So
the role of Aerosol will now be played by Selwyn Ward.
Nobody gets that. And that's fine. Yeah, I'm yawning because it's tired.
It's time it's for nap time.
It's tired.
Can you imagine if
yes.
we had a segment called Nap Time, like we were in preschool?
So brilliant. I didn't go to preschool.
To be fair, we have had that for the past few years with Kevin. It was just very unofficial underground stuff.
Secret time. Alright, so one ups. Lots of stuff, actually. Bill Dio and Safari Gao arrived safe and sound. So they're really cool. Haven't filmed any reviews for them yet, but they're cool. It's weird because Bill Dio is like the most simplest thing I've ever experienced.
It is. It's like you blink, I'm like, oh, it's done.
But I love him. Like, he's just so orange and cool. That's my reasoning, is just because he's orange. Safari Gao, I've got a couple issues with. I think he's really neat. Just looking straight at him from the front, he needs a lot of something. When you tilt him and you see all the blue and, like, the green and the orange, I'm like, okay, he looks cool. But if you don't see that, like, if you're just looking at him straight through the front, he's, like, the plainest Zord ever. And so that's a little bit frustrating. But the lion mode is a neat little thing that kind of makes him more fun than Tokyo. But
I think in general, just the animal designs in most of the modes just give it more character than Tokyo on its own.
Yeah. So those guy here, I got the Samurai and Q-Rex Zord armors, from Amazon. Those are things. I really like the Samurai one, that one's cool. What else? That's reviewed. I got the Rescue Bots Bumblebee that turns into a raptor. And he is adorable, but he is an awful toy, he really is. The worst. But outside of that, I did get a Apple lock seat set from Mandarake, but it's not here yet. So I got that covered. I'm all up to date on everything, actually. So for once, I'm actually good to go. But yeah, I don't think there was really anything else I've bought. There was a lot of vehicle death lately. The family van is dead. So now we're two households with one car. And so and now that car is overheating.
So great.
Thankfully, they were at a dealership today, and they're going to get a new car. So we'll be back to two houses, two cars, providing what? We figure
yours
out what's wrong
die.
With the one that's overheating. So
too much use.
That's quite an adventure. But hopefully that gets resolved, because I don't want to stall out in the middle of somewhere. I don't really care where it is. I just don't want to be stranded. Help.
Doesn't even, like, it's like three steps away from your house. No! You call Kat. The car stopped. I can see you from the window. Come get me. I'm traumatized. I had to put the emergency brake on.
I did see US release LBX kits at Toys R Us.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That was really weird. So yeah, that was strange, but they're really expensive and it's stupid.
It is,
but they exist, so that's what counts.
It's kind of like when you see figure arts at Borders. It's like it would be really or Borders, Barnes and Noble. Damn, I miss Borders now. Barnes and Noble, and it's like it would be really convenient to buy this here, but I can pretty much get it cheap everywhere else.
Yeah.
Or I guess the same thing with the import Megazords, too.
Same thing with anything, really.
True. Barnes & Noble is, like, the best Amazon museum ever. You can go look at all this stuff and be like, I can go buy this on Amazon now. My turn?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I also got most of that stuff Brian got. I got my Safari Gao and my Build Dial, which I actually really like them both. And the Apple lock seats, which is the classiest lock seat set ever. Like, seriously, I feel like I'm at a rich club when I'm playing with them. And the fact that the White Wizard driver is the voice of the gold lock seat, or at least it sounds like it, but those are all really cool. Oh, and my, DHL is, like, the best thing ever.
It is.
It gets here in, like, a day. I don't know how it does it.
It gets here super fast, and you can pre-sign for it, and it's great.
Like, I didn't expect it. Like, the doorbell rang for the first time I tried to get here, and I'm like, oh, there's no way it's here. It said it shipped yesterday, so I didn't answer it. And they came the next day with them after I signed the thingy, but I had no idea. Because if I'm not expecting anything, I never answer the door. It's one of the rules. But anyway. And then my Sal package from Mandarake, which I ordered, like, a week before this stuff, DHL, got here this afternoon, and it just had Kiwami and Figure Arts Gao. And Deno lock seed. I also found... Damn, Brian, I have your same one-ups. I also found the Zord Armors, but I didn't buy them on Amazon. I found them. After, like, forever. Like, for whatever reason, I didn't want to buy those from Amazon. And every time I'm at Toys R Us, I've been checking for them, and they finally had them. It's, like, insane. I don't think I've bought anything else. I'm still in my Power Rangers rewatch. I just started in Space. I'm a little bit into that. So I think I'm at a good point now where it's really not too many dips from here. Like, I think MMPR through Turbo has the most potential for turbulence. So I think it's relatively smooth sailing from here. And I'm closing in on the end of Season 5 of Supernatural. And I picked up The Last of Us Remastered. And I didn't know about that GameStop thing, so I paid full price. So now I'm just gruntled. But I started playing that again, and I love that game.
I'm going to start it tomorrow.
And then stop playing randomly at a certain point. You should finish it, though. It's really good.
I'll try my best.
Best isn't good enough, Brian.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Aerosol. Any pizza stories this week?
I pass.
Let's see. What's happened lately?
I'm dying.
Well, yeah, my internet is out. So I'm on the phone with the but with my headset using the Bluetooth function.
Bluetooth function.
Bluetooth.
This is like the Bluetooth version of the podcast.
Bluetooth? I got AC Kiwami like a while ago. I don't remember if I mentioned that the last time I did one-ups. I got the LARP Turtles. Those guys are so cool. Brian got me keys. I got more keys. I bought my Morphicon ticket last night, and then Jason Smith decided to cancel. So, sorry. my bad. Let's see what else happened. Let's see. Well, I've been having epic fun times discussing Supernatural with Dawson before the podcast, and then my internet died.
As soon as he started talking about the devil. You see what happens?
I know. So that's how he's talking about Lucifer. Your shit just goes all to hell.
exactly.
We're halfway through season 8 now, so we're like, Dawson's now 3 seasons behind us. And gaining.
I'm not really racing. I'm just kind of like leisurely walking while watching Power Rangers.
Well, you know what happens here on our end is, and this is legit what happens, is that a lot of nights someone has to get up early or, you know, whatever. So she's like, oh, I don't feel like watching it tonight. I'm like, oh, okay. Or we'll like get through one episode and then we're exhausted and just fall asleep. Whereas Dawson's over here marathoning that shit. And then on top of that, what makes it take even longer is that even if we're only watching like an episode and a half in one night, we got Kaylee interrupting us every like 2.5 minutes. So you have to keep stopping. And, Kaylee, get back in bed. Kaylee, get back in bed. And I got, you know, bring her to bed. And you got fuss at her, and she knows I'm gonna go back to bed right away. And it takes like twice as long to watch one fucking episode. But I mean, we're getting there. It's fun though. Dawson's been given ideas for what to do at Morphicon now.
Well, after the con episode, I thought it was so funny. They go up to that woman trying to help her, and then like 3 other people are like, "Do you need help, ma'am?"
Well, we really need to talk like that too. Like, okay. You're a fucking Batman or something.
It's funny because only Dean sounds like that, but they were both doing it.
Yeah. Then at the end, you find out they're gay lovers. I love that they were astonished at the, like, incest fan fiction.
Like, like, but we're brothers.
Like, but we're brothers. Like, so?
I love that they made that a part of the show.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And then I've been playing Epic Mickey Power of Illusion on my 3DS because I said, hey, let's try this game.
That'll help you catch up to Ash.
It might not, but it will let me have fun with Mickey and friends.
He's doing the Pokemon Journey True to Ash, where Ash gets distracted by side adventures.
Like, Ash is distracted. Let's go help this old man, like, jack off Eradicate for 3 episodes. Oh, okay. Like, why, sir? Why do you need to jack off this Eradicate? Well, because. Oh, okay. That's fine.
I'm going to clone some Rattatas.
Like,
I want to make different colors.
And that's what I'm doing.
Like,
I'm sitting here with
the Triceratops.
Yes, exactly.
We want to make a pink Rattata and protest.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting here with my fucking Mickey Mouse and his paintbrush going like, yeah, we need to do this shit. Let's do this bitch. But I actually kind of like it, but I played the old Mickey Mouse games when I was a kid, so that's why I find it fun. I know Brian told me he wasn't as thrilled by the game, but I find it fun. Also penis, so that's a thing. I think that's it, though. I haven't done anything else. My life sucks. I mean, not as much as Dawson's, but...
That's just always true for anybody.
Yeah. I mean, nothing can suck as much as Dawson's life, so...
So, speaking of Satan, Ryugen?
That's
Ryugen's new groove.
You see how we tie it all together? It works.
It all comes back to Satan. In the end, yeah.
the end, though.
So this was clearly another last-minute Baron Lemon Arms decision.
What gave you that idea?
It was just a hunch, you know? I was like, something about this outfit looks familiar. No one will notice. We never used Kiwi arms.
Thinking about the fact that the lock sees just a red Boudot and it says like LS Hell on it or something. Like we wouldn't notice that that's not a number.
I kind of like it though. I mean, I like the color scheme at least. I don't like how, I don't want to say lazy, but kind of like lazy it is. I don't like that aspect of it, but I like the way that it looks at least.
You know, I'm curious because, you know, the way the show is written, it doesn't seem like, it seems like they had a plan. It doesn't seem like anything has abruptly changed or anything. So it seems funny that all of a sudden they're like, oh crap, we forgot we needed two suits. And so that's where these two came out of. You know, Baron and this one.
Yeah.
But I didn't read anything. I don't know if there is anything to read. I just looked at the picture because I didn't want to be spoiled. But if there's any... I'm curious to see the reason of like how it comes about, because at the moment I really hate hearing my echo through Kevin's phone.
There's not much I can do about that.
But at the moment I really like him being Zangetsu Shin, just because I thought it was a good sort of representation of him wanting to like be his brother, like slash surpass him. But I'm looking forward to seeing how this works out.
That's about it, really.
Okay. Now Dawson knows how we feel after he brushes his teeth.
At least I get dental hygiene out of the deal.
There's nothing pleasant about dental hygiene.
Real quick before Comic-Con stuff, just a heads up, we still don't have a picture of Drive at all.
Oh, yeah.
We saw his car.
We've got lots of pictures of his car, but that's
I want to say that I did appreciate that you all referred to my tweets frequently in your discussion last week.
For the record, you're spot on. That's exactly what happens.
I saw that.
Shift car has a corresponding tire that goes on the car and does stuff.
And gives him rims. Yes. Well, you know, I happen to agree with Dawson in that I can't form an opinion about this because we don't have a suit, and it's actually kind of pissing me off.
I just want to see it. Tell us! That conference is going to be Friday, you know it, after this is all recorded.
It is. Legitimately, it is. Like, there's no maybe. It pretty much almost guaranteed to be, because it's usually the last Friday in the month. Which should have been last week, but it wasn't last week, so obviously it's going to be this week. So we'll get it. You'll probably have it by the time you listen to this.
Look forward to late news next week.
Like, I want to like it. I want to buy the stuff because I think collecting trains and cars together would be fun. I just need money to do that with. And I need to believe that the suits and everything work well together with the toys. Just believe. It's hard to because they won't show us what he looks like.
Comic-Con had a certain announcement from Shout Factory that slightly made me cry. But
why would it make you cry?
Oh, I don't know.
It led me to a revelation, guys. I discovered in our time-hopping adventures, we accidentally set it to the Jewish timeline. Everything here is Jew Ranger. I can't believe it was just like a notch before the darkest timeline is the Jewish timeline. So that explains everything.
And why Dawson hates it here.
Okay, well, for those of you who don't know, for whatever reason, living
we're just talking
cryptic something, they are going to be releasing Jew Ranger in a DVD box set over here. Assumed subbed. I don't see why they would release it any other way.
They said subbed.
Okay.
Super mega subbed.
Nope, that one's pink. Can't do it.
Super mega Rangers? That's a super mega pun. There we go.
Got it.
Sorry.
No pricing or even a release date yet, just the fact that it's going to happen. But like I said on Twitter, I like the idea of getting Sentai releases over here. I think that's exciting. But the fact that they're starting with, like, my least favorite Sentai I've watched is a little bit of a bummer. But
objectively, I definitely get the reason, because MMPR suits are so recognizable. But I'm really curious to see how this sells or how any potential future releases will. Because the fandom talks about Sentai so much that we think everybody will love it. But only, like, the core fandom will buy it, I think. And then a few random people that might see it on Amazon or in the store and be like, oh, it's the footage from Power Rangers, let's buy this. Oh, casual for life. But outside of that, I don't see it doing that well. It just doesn't seem like that type of thing. Well, yeah, because outside of that whole, hey, this might be funny to watch drunk, I don't see that many people outside of this core little audience getting that excited over it, especially when there's not much substance to it if you go to watch it.
There's a lot of little kids getting saved, awesome.
And, yeah, it's just, and I absolutely despise the people that say you're not a real fan if you don't support this and buy it. I can't see spending my money on something I hate just to support it. It seems dumb.
You know, this is my take on it, okay? I definitely understand the support it so that we can possibly get future releases like Geki Ranger and Gokaiger and Kyoryuger and whatever else. However, here's my problem is, number one, they said at the moment we only have rights to license Z-Ranger. And two, we keep saying that with things lately, like, well, it's a start and hopefully they'll do other stuff with it. You know, like we do with the legacy stuff. Well, you know, I'm sick of MMPR, but I'm gonna buy this because it's a start and hopefully they'll release things from later seasons. And then, like, 8 billion years later, season 3 of MMPR, legacy items. Like, okay, well, maybe if I keep buying legacy items, we'll eventually get past MMPR. Like, at what point do we stop pouring MMPR and just agree that there are other seasons? To where it stops being, well, it's a start, and we go, hey, look, let's try and do stuff from Space or Turbo.
To be fair, MMPR is really long, so it'll take them longer to get through the legacy stuff. But in terms of movies and everything else, or figures, I think they've tapped out. There's like 12 Green Ranger figures. The 13th yet to be announced.
Like, which, you know, I mean, like, we keep saying that, well, let's start, maybe they'll do something later, and then you find, and then, like, next item, more Tommy. Like, god damn it!
Like, I do get wanting to support it, but I don't want to support it that bad. I'm not like, I'm not going to buy this because I want Z-Ranger to burn with all you fans. I'm like, I don't want to buy it because I don't want to. It's like the equivalent of throwing my money in a shredder because I would buy it and never watch it. Because I really don't have any interest in revisiting any of Z-Ranger. I didn't like any of it.
Like, to me, I'm kind of tired of the mentality of, well, let's just try it, and hopefully they'll give us more. I much would have preferred if they would have said, let's put out Gokaiger first, on the basis of it's the 35th one, it goes with Super Mega Force, and they use
the
all those keys.
The MMPR suit captures the casual market.
Well, my thing is that Super Mega Force, Gokaiger goes with all those keys, and so people can still see all 200 suits, and then they can release other seasons later on that have those suits, and people can go, oh, hey, I liked those guys when I saw them in, you know, whatever show, let me buy their fucking thing.
But it just, like, I don't know, it makes more sense for Z-Ranger just because they're getting those, trying to get those people that buy the MMPR shirts at Hot Topic and don't care about anything else. Because they probably don't care or even know what the current seasons are about.
Those people piss me off. I just want to put that out there. Like, because, I mean, like, I have MMPR shirts from Hot Topic, and I thought that's, like, a bad thing to
have. I bought
them.
It before it was cool.
Yeah, like I remember buying it, and I could wear it around, like, campus when I was in college, and people were like, yeah, Power Rangers, MMPR, best thing ever. And I'm like, motherfucker.
Yeah, because when you wear those shirts out, people are like, nice shirt, and, like, you have no idea. Because they're thinking, like, huh, 90s childhood, and I'm like, huh, this was my whole life. I've watched all the seasons.
Yeah, like, they think you're cool just because it's like Mighty Morphin, and in my head I'm going, I have this shirt because I wanted a Power Rangers shirt, and Mighty Morphin was my only option.
That's pretty much it.
But I would much prefer it if this shirt had, like, Andros on it, for example, than Jason.
Or Zane, with a quote that just says, let's rack it. Mega
let's
Wigger.
Rack it. I would die for a shirt that said Mega Wigger.
I'm trying to remember what the rumors were circulating before it was announced. I know the Sentai was a rumor. There was a rumor about both PR movies, and I think that there was a third one.
I think that was one. Some people were saying it would be like a Samurai to Super Mega Force box set.
Oh, I would have loved that. Instead of the Jiranger announcement, I would have rather had Samurai through Super Mega Force Mega Set. Or I would actually love the movies with a bunch of special features. Mainly, I want the Turbo movie with a special feature where they just sit down and explain what happened. Like, explain what happened to the Zeo powers, what the plans were, because there's so many rumors and people saying different things. I want to know what happened.
Like, yeah, that would have been nice. Like, hey, here's the footage where we lose the powers. Here's the footage that we shot. Or, like, I would like the first movie with the footage. Here's the one with, what's that chick's name? The one that they shot the whole film with as Dulcea and then recast her. Whose name? I can't think of her name.
I don't know either. But,
Is it Megan Mullally? Is that it?
No, which? Ron Swanson's wife?
I don't know.
Tammy 2? Anyway. Tammy 2 as Delphine. Not Delphine.
Yeah, Delphine.
We're all losing
names. I just said it.
There we go. I forgot already. But, you know, neither of those movies were particularly that great, but special features on them would have been really cool, especially compared to G-Ranger.
At least it wasn't the Beat Riders.
Exactly. Although, you know, as cool as a Samurai through Megaforce box, that would be, it wouldn't be in HD, which is kind of sad, because it looks so pretty in HD.
Yeah. You know what looks pretty in HD?
Your mom.
My penis.
Oh.
She was originally supposed to be Mariska.
Mariska Hargitay, that's
there
it.
There you go. I can't speak today, so.
Oh, I wish it was Tammy too, though, just for, like, the hilarity of it.
I think that would be funny. I think we could smell the sulfur
coming off her cloven hooves.
I think we should refilm it with Megan Mullally. I think that would be funny.
Ron Swanson as Zordon.
I guess while we're on the topic of
penis,
Comic-Con, is there anything you guys saw that you thought was really cool?
Toku related or
Arsenal's suit looks really cool.
It does.
It's a random thought.
I do want to mention, going back to PR for a second with Comic-Con. I want to respond to Dawson when he said, "Don't tell Kevin there are no numbers on the batteries because he'll go crazy." I noticed.
What? I didn't say that.
I remember that. I heard it.
Was it me?
It might have not been the exact words, but it was close. I did notice it, and yes, it does make me a little bit crazy. So, fuck your mother.
But what if in Power Rangers numbers don't exist? I mean, like, in the batteries, not in general. Otherwise, the Zeo Rangers are fucked. Because they wouldn't know what to do. Zeo Ranger...
But yes, I'm trying to think what happened at Comic-Con. Like, Arrow makes me so happy. Like, I love Arsenal. Plus, they had all that stuff. So they had the trailer with...
Ra's al Ghul's going to be in season 2.
Ra's al Ghul. And then I'm excited to have Brandon Routh in there.
Ugh, and then Shaw. Shaw's the worst.
I think it's so funny. Like, I really do. Because... there's Shaw comes in to break up, but he comes between Chuck and Sarah, And then here comes Ray Palmer to come in between Ollie and Felicity. Like in both in the third season of the both in the third season of that show.
It is pretty funny.
Like it's like they really sat there and went, you know what? We need somebody who's just a complete douche who can just come between two people who are supposed to be together. I know, Brandon Routh. That's brilliant.
Perfect.
Like, I think that's funny. The Agents
they're
of
apparently
S.H.I.E.L.D.
also bringing in, oh, I was going to say, they're bringing in, oh. Like, I don't remember his name, like Wildcat or something? That he,
yeah, Wildcat, who's going
to train. He's probably
going
to train Laurel to be Ruby. It's going to be awesome.
That excites me, too, just because I'm excited to see her become become Canary. So that should be fun. But yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is exciting me as well, now that I'm caught up. I just really want to see where they're going, and they're adding a bunch of cast members and shit, and then it's making me happy.
I really want them to make Trip a regular.
Yes, absolutely.
And,
I like him.
Make Robin Sparkles a regular.
I think that'd be fun, or at least like more recurring.
Yeah, instead of just a couple appearances.
Yeah. Let's see what else they talked about, like all the different stuff, like Age of Ultron, which I'm really excited for. Ant-Man has me excited. Oh. Like I really think that Paul Rudd will do like a fantastic job as Ant-Man.
It'll be interesting because I'm used to only seeing him in like comedies, so
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
But a lot of these movies have like that sarcastic, comedic type thing to a lot of the characters, so I'm excited to see like how he handles it. I think it could be pretty good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it was a good choice. It's just because I've only seen him in like Judd Apatow movies.
Yeah, yeah, and they said like Yellowjacket is the villain. Which, I mean, that doesn't mean a lot to me because I don't know who Yellowjacket is, but it sounds like it could be a good movie.
It reminds me of that clue in Earth's Mightiest Heroes, like, can you believe they handed to Yellowjacket? I'm like, I totally caught that. No idea what they're talking about.
Like, despite all the behind-the-scenes, like, issues they've had with people leaving and...
Which I really didn't care that much. Like, I can't believe they lost this director. I'm like, oh no, not him. No idea who he is.
Yeah. Like, the only thing it really bothered me about it is it just made me concerned about, like, the future of the movie. Like, oh, I hope they don't, like, you know, cancel it or, you know, really delay it or just screw it up completely because of all these changes. I mean, a lot of times when stuff goes through that many director changes and script changes, it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what was making me concerned, because I really want Ant-Man to do well. But I'm hopeful for it. I think it's going to come out good. Do you want to say the TMNT stuff until ramble time, or?
Yeah, Brian. We can wait until then.
Okay. There's another
one. Brian Hammond.
I'm trying to think. I don't think there's anything
they
else.
They announced Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
They
Burt Macklin rides again.
Like, Guardians of the Galaxy 1 is like just coming out, and they're like, we're making a sequel. All right, cool.
I'm glad they did announce it, because there's been so many people concerned about how it'll do because it not being as recognizable a name, which I can get, but it's gotten really great promotion.
It
like
has.
I've seen it everywhere, like on TV and in the stores. So, and it's got the Marvel name attached to it, so I don't think that the casual fans that are more fans of the movies won't notice it.
You got the Lego thing. You saw that?
I heard about it.
I saw it today. It was like, it's like them as Legos. That was really cool looking. Like, I was like, I want that now. Like, I need to see the whole movie as Legos. But yeah, so that, I mean, I'm excited to go see it. And I think it's like TMNT, I think, is really the only thing else. I know there was like a Supernatural panel. I don't remember reading anything from it because nobody I know retweeted anything from it.
I don't want to read anything because I don't want to be spoiled.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I'm not caught up yet, so I'm trying to avoid that. I do know that they basically said that, yeah, as long as people want to do this, like want to watch
keep
us,
making it.
We'll keep making it.
I'm curious because I've seen several places, including Matt today, saying it was supposed to end at 5. I'm like, that makes sense. I mean, how farther can you go than fighting the devil? Like, that's like the top of villains. Where do you go from there?
Well, you know, the thing is, it was. Like, because the guy who created it originally wrote it as a 5-season thing. And the whole plot takes place over those 5 seasons to end with, like, the whole apocalypse and the showdown with Lucifer. And, like, he's stayed on as, like, an executive producer, consultant type person. But he pretty much has almost, like, no actual involvement in the show, from what I understand. But, like, they've made it to where there's, like, a continuous storyline. Like, you know.
To see where it goes.
Like, I know on, like, the Wikia, they kind of list 6 and 7 as kind of being together, based on like the producers and stuff, whoever was working on it at the time, and then they list like 8, 9, 10 together. But it all kind of leads into each other. Like that's one thing that's always been really cool to me about the show is they find a way to just link it all together and go back to stuff like, oh yeah, you remember this thing? Yeah, that had a purpose and there's a reason for that. And yeah, this character is just gonna show up back again. Why? Cause. We were bored.
We have to write like 10 more seasons of this, so we got a lot of time.
Yeah. But I mean, they go back to a lot of things. And like they introduce the ideas of like purgatory and stuff later on, and
well, they've gone everywhere else.
And they do stuff with the different monsters and the demons, and like Crowley becomes a bigger character in the seasons after Where You Are.
Kent and Everett the Third.
And so yeah, like they found a way to do it after, you know, getting past the whole Satan thing.
That pest.
Yeah, I know, right? That douchebag Satan. You know, a bunch of stuff with the angels and they got some prophets in there later on, and it works fairly well.
I assume they had profits if the season's still going.
Wait, like, you don't know...
Money?
Oh, yeah. I get it, yeah. Because you're stupid.
Yep.
But, yeah, I'm trying... I don't know what other panels they had there.
There wasn't a whole lot more. We already knew that Korra was going to be online. That's pretty much all they said that I remember.
Yeah. They said, no, we're still doing the show. We promise. They just get... We get better ratings online than on an actual network. Like, oh.
I didn't hear anything about Ben 10.
Yeah. Does that show even exist anymore?
It's on hiatus for the summer.
Well, I would really appreciate it if it came back at some point. And that would be kind of nice. Is there any other Comic-Con news? I don't think so. Is there any other news in general?
No, not much. I thought there was going to be a lot more, like the whole second half of Comic-Con, but the only really major thing for like Toku related was the G-Ranger thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there was no more sexist rants, and we don't know. I mean, unless they decide to while making the Z-Ranger DVDs turn May into a man. That's a possibility.
Like dub over with a male voice? That would be entertaining. I would buy that.
Just like digitally, just, you know, shorten her hair and you know, make the skirt into, like, pants and just change it frame by frame for 50 episodes. I think it could work. It would definitely target, you know, today's Toku audience who is only into males. In fact, they might go back and change her suit from pink to purple, since no one will want to buy a show with a pink ranger in it. That's for girls. So that's, you know, I'd like to see that. I think that could work. It would definitely help.
I forgot to mention last week there's going to be Beetleborg figure arts, and I'm excited. I'm just upset that I forgot to mention it last week.
There is. They have said that they are doing Blue Beat and Black Beat, which is the Blue Stinger Borg and
Stinger. Striker.
Yeah,
Red Striker.
I was right the first time. Blue Stinger. And you're like, no. Stupid. And then the black Shadow Borg.
I think the chances are very small, but I would love a White Blaster Beetleborg figure. Like,
well, you know, the funny thing is that he is a minor character.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think he's like the Phantom Ranger, where we made a bigger deal about him here.
Yeah.
But, like, his suit's so cool.
He's like the kid, he's like the son of the guy who gave them their powers, or who infused those suits with beetleness in the Japanese, and he just so happens to look like one of them. So Saban was like, money! And
what? Blaster Beetleborg. Okay, I got to do it. I'm good. I don't need to do anything else for the rest of the night.
Well, I have to do your mom the rest of the night.
Regardless, I'm excited because I really like Beetleborg still.
Yeah, after seeing how the three Space Sheriff figures came out, which is really good, it makes me excited for the B-Fighter suits, and I'm hoping we can get through the four Beetleborgs, or I guess three, I mean, if they give us white, and then get to B-Fighter Kabuto, because that's a moneymaker.
Beetleborg's Metallics? Sorry.
Yes. Beetleborg's Metallics. And then they've gone Metallics.
SH Figuarts Flabber.
Now it's time for...
Flabber time!
Superhero time!
Oh?
Tokuja! Shupa! Chinko! Kamen Rider Gaim! At least it wasn't the Beat Riders. Or maybe it was the Beat Riders. I don't know. Take your pick, whichever one you like. So we're on an
Never
episode.
Never get the Beat Riders.
That's right. We're on an episode of Tokuja, that number at 22?
23.
Shit. 23.
No, it's 22.
Oh. Same thing.
Not really. They're numbers. They go in order.
Damn. No, they don't. 35 is supposed to come before 34. That's why Gokaidra is the lost Sentai.
They skipped it.
But in any case, stupid ranting aside,
Grita's wedding dress looks like a giant diaper. I just had to say that before I forgot it.
Yeah, so she like ate him.
She ate Lord Zed.
She ate Zed.
Can you imagine if Rita did that?
That was really creepy.
I kept hearing that and I was like, what? What are you people talking about? And then it happened.
Like, I was really freaked out by it, I'm not gonna lie. But I don't know. I mean, obviously he's going to come back. We've seen scans of it in his monster form. Plus, he just seems like too important of a character to just introduce and then kill off because some fat bitch decided to eat him.
I'm hungry. I'm really the main character.
Like, seriously, that fucking whore. Like, it's not an all-you-can-eat buffet in the middle of the monster base.
This whole storyline just weirds me out. Like, and the fact that it's more interesting than what's going on with the main cast also weirds me out. Like, we were at the Tokuyuters at the beginning, and then we spent a bit in the villain base. And when we went back to the Tokuyuters, I'm like, oh, I forgot they were here. But
they're doing things. What the fuck did they even do in this episode?
They
really
talked about the past and play checkers.
Oh.
They remembered that there was a festival in their town.
Oh, yeah, and festival.
I will admit, I do actually kind of like that they were sitting down and researching all of the different festivals in the area, and they were using the past knowledge that they had remembered over the course of the series. Obviously, not everything that they remembered was useful, but... Still, it was nice, I guess.
They're at least being proactive about it.
Yeah.
Because before it was just kind of like, oh, we'll probably get home eventually. This train's got to stop at the right place sometime.
Like when they remember that Tokati takes extends. Like, why was that necessary?
It wasn't really brought up because it happens so close to the end of the episode, but they're remembering
the extends?
That
their town was taken over by
the fog, the dark fog, the creature demons. From Lost.
The black smoke. I knew it. Oh man, I can't believe I didn't make the Lost joke. I am ashamed.
You should be.
Totes.
I liked it. For once, it was actively progressing plots.
It did. Was accurate in this episode? Oh yeah, he fought Swartz.
Yeah.
What?
I legit had to think about it. I was like, was accurate in this episode?
Oh, yeah. Briefly.
He just, you know, showed up playing his harmonica. Brilliant harmonica, Brian.
Yeah. Well, I was going to do the song, and then I realized I was doing Proto Man's song from Mega Man instead. So I stopped. But, I mean, there's not a whole lot to really talk about, because, again, it's setting up for not next week, because life... Variety shows or whatever the fuck they're doing over there now. But I at least do want to say that there really wasn't anything I completely hated. And as far as Tokuger goes, something I'm usually kind of just run-of-the-mill about. It definitely picked up a little bit, and I'm glad about that. It finally did. I said it on Twitter, if I loved this show, then this would have been a fantastic episode. But because we've gone through like 20-something episodes of these characters don't really do a whole lot for me, what would have been a very fantastic episode was just kind of, well, this is great for this show, so.
Well, they don't do a whole lot in general, not just for you, so.
That's true.
I wish
Greta just looked different. Could she just not be so repulsive? Like, this story, it sounds so shallow, but if she had, like, a really cool monster design and she was involved in this plot, it would seem less weird to me, but it just seems so weird because it's like Swartz and Zed are competing for the affections of this, like, repulsive fat baby. And it's just weirding me out.
You almost expect her to change now that she's gotten Zed's powers, too.
Yeah, and all she has is red eyes. She looks constipated. I don't know why you give it eyes in your
clear eyes.
Clear eyes is awesome.
But yeah, I remember we talked about that, like whether she would go through some sort of metamorphosis, and then I think we talked about like
that
having the same
change.
Face. Oh god. But yeah, she weirds me out. The whole thing is just weird. Weird.
We should probably make note of the fact that the trains got stolen. That's a
oh yeah. That was pretty crazy.
Like Swartz stole that shit.
And he was like saying all like the announcements of, you know, didn't he like announce that Tokyo was made or whatever? And
yeah, it reminded doing it reluctantly.
It was very much so. It was actually kind of a neat little moment where it's, you know, the villains in the base. Like when Lord Zed was in the command center. Well, not quite as epic. Although I find it funny that Lord Zed was like, I'm in the command center. This is such an epic moment. And then he did a conga line at Ernie's. So it undercut any tension.
When was Lord Zed in the command center?
When he wanted them to pilot the Shogun Zords. When he was like, you're going to pilot the Shogun Zords for me, or I'm going to kill Kimberly and Ninjor. Except less.
God, I gotta watch that show again. I forgot all these details. I don't remember him ever being there.
I just watched it, so it's pretty fresh. Anyway,
I'm not
about
aware of what you're doing.
This is MMPR Corner.
MMPR Corner.
Every corner is MMPR Corner.
Every corner has that stupid jingle.
I like how my basis for like whether something's a good episode or not is if the main characters get their ass kicked. Like, if shit happens to the main characters, I'm like, this episode was fucking awesome. And it's like,
something
I feel like
serious
every show
happen.
I watch. I just wish awful things to these characters, I guess, but...
Well, who doesn't? I mean, let's be honest.
But, I mean, the whole thing with Schwartz taking over the Tokyo, I think is neat. And the fact that he just kicked ass with it, too. He did better than they did. Like, he just came in there and was like, fuck yo shit, and killed everyone. Huh. That's not exactly what happened, but...
Close. And they're like, joke's on you, we have the Pancake Megazord, we're here to get you.
Well, you know what pisses me off? Kagura's face. Like, seriously, it's just really gross.
Not quite as gross as Gritta's.
No, but...
Getting rid of Gritta, getting rid of the G.
Like, she just fucking weirds me out, man. Like, why the fuck is your face so messed up? Like... Can they find someone better looking
just
to be pink?
Fix your face. You're not giving me much direction beyond make your face better.
Like, look at her. It's just creepy. And she makes a weird face with her fucked up face.
Man Perkins.
I'm like, oh.
Gritta is Man Perkins.
Like, I think if Gritta would have swapped, that's why they had to swap with Mio last week instead of Kagura, because nobody would be able to tell the difference. Their faces are fucking gross together.
I think that's a sign to move on.
Fucking ugly ass hoes in my Sentai.
So, Gaim time. Alright.
So, apparently, Mai has, like, the tightest pussy around, because everybody's after it.
This is a start. So, remember last week I said this is a setup episode? This was setup part 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
Like,
the street.
It was like the middle part where it just involved them getting to the destination. That's not that it was a terrible episode or anything, but it's just not that much actually happened. They essentially, you know, were just on their way through Ryoma's secret passage. Heyo. But essentially, they just all started falling away as they were fighting waves of enemies. And I liked seeing them all sort of charge in and fight and all that. And
transform together and be like, fuck this shit.
Michi monologued a bit, but to be fair, he's been doing that a lot. He went hallucinating in front of Mai. And I just wanted to bring it up. I definitely share George's frustration with Kota still not wanting to forgive Michi. But after seeing this episode, though, I'm not ready to get really annoyed at it quite yet, just because not much has really happened in these two episodes, or between this episode and the last episode in terms of, like, revelations or anything. So I'll sort of see what happens when they actually confront each other, when he sees, like, what he's got going on at the tower, and that he's got his sister and all these people, and is just letting him being drained. But yeah, I really hope that he changes his perspective a little bit.
So, typically I haven't been getting too annoyed with Kota believing in Michi, despite how much, you know, Kaido is trying to tell him not to. In fact, Kaido seems to be getting more annoyed than I am. But there was a little conversation between Mai and Roshuo towards the end of the episode where she's essentially explaining to him that if you don't forgive the people that betray you, then you'll eventually wind up with no one around. And while I'm all for forgiveness, there is a limit to that shit.
You best check yourself.
It's just, I don't know. It borders on asinine, the way she's sort of rationalizing it. I completely understand forgiving a person if they make a small mistake, but something like this, like, I don't know. Michi's made one too many mistakes, and they're quite large mistakes.
She was more annoying about it than Kota was in this episode. Like, it's not like Michi forgot to pick up the milk. You know, he betrayed the entire human race in addition to all of them.
And the beat writer.
He tried to kill Kota, shot him in the head. I don't know if they know that, though.
He even said that out of everyone in the human race, Mai's the only one he's choosing to save. The only one. He has the opportunity to save, like, half of the population, and he's only going to save her.
Yeah, in fact, he even said, like, oh, she's the only one worth saving. All the rest of them suck donkey boners.
That's exactly what he said. I read that exactly in the subtitles.
That's what I read.
But, yeah, it does seem... I mean, we talk a lot about the last few weeks about perspective, that we see it different because we've gotten to see it evolve. But now it just seems unbelievable that they're seeing this so up close and still in such denial. Like I said, I'll sort of judge Coda's reaction more when the next episode happens and there's an actual confrontation. But it just annoys me because at this point, Kaido had a really good point of how many enemies Coda's faced that he thought could be reasoned with and then realized, well, I have to do this. He needs to come to that point with Michi.
Yeah, I think he will at some point. He'll have to in order to beat him, which is why he hasn't been able to beat him yet. It's just because he can't come to that realization. But I want to know why, like, if there's a reason why Kaido is so into helping / protecting Kota.
Don't think that he has an ulterior motive. Like he's going to turn out to be evil or something.
It seemed like in the beginning, it seemed like, you know, the whole Beat Riders dance thing, he was like, fuck you. Like, and
but this is like higher stakes. This is a lot higher stakes.
Well, but I mean, he's also, he wants, you know, all the power and everything for himself. I mean, he wants that fruit.
In this kind of situation where he kind of needs everyone he can get, having one person who insists on trying to rationalize with a complete psychopath can kind of screw things up for you. So I can kind of understand why he would want to maybe persuade Coda from doing that.
And I think that he's developed a respect for Coda over the course of the series.
Yeah.
And I don't think that he wants to see him being manipulated like that. I don't think Kaito's a bad person. The situation at the beginning of the series was very different. The biggest thing that was at stake was getting your dance card stolen, literally. And now it's like the whole world. So.
Yeah, but I mean, who really needs the whole world?
Not Michi.
Oh, that's true.
Michi don't care.
So, in addition to everything else that was sort of restated within this episode, we also had Ryoma chewing up the scenery
with his pants.
And some scenes were really fun with him, and then other scenes were like, what is he doing? He's just sort of like bouncing around from everyone, like from one person to the next, and talking about how, oh, I'm completely to blame. Hey, Minato, I'm to blame for ending the world.
And he's just, like, laughing about it. Like, isn't that interesting? I'm wearing weird clothes.
He's insane. Like, he is insane.
I'm curious, like, what is his purpose behind still collecting data? Like, I get it, you're a researcher, but this is taking a bit too far.
I'm curious,
like, what his exact motive is, what was exactly he doing when he was away. Maybe he is just weird and just likes to research things. I don't know, but there's got to be something more going on.
I will say that he had a pretty awesome fight scene.
Yeah.
Apparently he's tricked out his Genesis driver. But one scene in particular that I really liked in this episode was Coda was worrying about Bravo and Greedon, and Ryoma just tells him that they may very well be dead at this point. And Coda gets upset. But Kaido steps in and he's like, actually, what he's saying may very well be true.
And he punches
him. And then he turns around and punches Ryoma.
And he essentially said, like, you don't have to be such a dick about it, though. Why are you making like,
that shit was funny. I'm sorry. I'm trying to pleasure your mother at the same time I talk to you, okay?
Brother.
God. But yeah, that was pretty funny. I like watching Ryoma get decked in the face.
Anything else going on?
There were two pretty funny Zach moments. The first is just him calling Greedon lame.
Oh, yeah, because Greedon was like, if I don't go, then I'm going to be the only one that looks totally lame. And Zach's like, you're totally lame.
And the other was when he uses Suica, he gets watermelons on his fists.
That shit was awesome.
I didn't even notice that. Oh, when he was fighting as the robot. I thought, man, like, yeah. That's pretty cool.
I love that we get to see other people as Suica. Like, we've gotten to see Coda do it, obviously, and then Baron did it. And we saw his was a little bit different. And then now Zach does it. And his is a completely third different, like, just weapon and way of doing Suica. Oh, that was pretty cool.
Punching people with watermelons. It's badass.
I want to punch someone with a watermelon right in the JJ.
All right.
Apparently the word for JJ is a no-no word around here.
All right. Oh, it's just, like, everything, every sentence has to end with, like, a euphemism. Which isn't even a euphemism, it's just you saying explicit shit.
I don't understand why that's a problem.
But I really don't think there was that much else. Like, it was a very strange episode in the fact that I can't remember an episode in Gaim being this much of a midway point between episodes. It was like a waypoint. So it's just really weird. And then now we have to wait a week for like the conclusion of this three-parter.
And then they're talking about delaying episodes or something.
Because of basketball?
Baseball.
Oh. High school baseball. High school baseball. Not professional
baseball. Like the only, like, normal sport we're familiar with that they play a lot over there.
it's not even professional sport.
I love how you don't consider soccer to be normal.
It's not.
It's not. But like, it's not like it's like professional baseball. It's fucking high school baseball.
It's practically High School Musical, but with baseball.
Exactly. And who wants to see High School Baseball Musical? The streets. I assume it's the streets. I don't know for sure.
But honestly, though, poor guy. It's gone through so many scheduling shit. That was an intelligent sentence. It's gone through so many scheduling shit. Like, with between the dumb crossovers and the sports breaks, it's just, at least with this one, they're not losing episodes. But still, it's like, I can't remember a series having this many issues. To be fair, though, there was a lot of series I didn't watch as they're airing. But still.
Yeah. I know of all the ones that I've watched, which is, you know, the past, like, what, 6 years now or so?
I've watched since Kiva, so I don't remember anything like this happening till now.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't remember there being this kind of scheduling problem. We're going to take a week off this week, and then in 2 weeks we're also going to be off because of more sports. And then we're going to delay it some more for something. Like, really? Like, can you just not keep delaying my show and canceling episodes and making them fall into fucking crossovers and, like, you know, fucking DK didn't even have as many crossovers and shit in the middle of the show.
As I mentioned, too, it's really difficult with Gaim because it's such a serialized show that it makes the wait really difficult as opposed to the past few years where it could have easily gone in between, like, one of the dumb two-parters and it wouldn't have been that big a deal.
And no one would have noticed. Like, that's how bad they were, and nobody would have noticed. But yeah, it really upsets me. Like, it's painful to have to wait 2 weeks to find out about DJ Sagara, who I'd kind of forgotten has not been in the show for a while. Like, I saw the preview, and I'm like, oh yeah, the DJ guy is a person. Like, that's a thing. We were doing at one point. I forgot all about his crazy ass. Now I miss him.
All right. I think that does it for Gaim.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Now it's 2 weeks till the next discussion.
We are skipping Garo this week because it was awful.
And I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I don't either. Just consider Garo skipped unless something really cool happens, which is apparently never going to happen. So just consider it dead until there's something to talk about.
Yeah.
Which there may actually be
something to talk about next week. It looks like maybe at least some kind of backstory.
Vagina.
Yeah, I think his mom is there.
I think that was her. All right, so now it's time for ramble time.
Let's go for a darker direction. This is the gritty reboot of Ramble Time.
It's pronounced Gritty.
Okay. Gritty. Oh, Gritty.
Dawson has pronunciation problems. It's upsetting.
Let's do Hoedown.
Good God, no, please.
Anyway.
Okay, so Pokemon was a thing. You guys all watched
Hoedown?
And you don't remember what happened, so let's just move on to a...
Hey,
before. Wait, I take offense. I remember it. Mega Gardevoir was there.
Weak.
Mega fucking Gardevoir. You fucking tool.
What?
Mega Gardevoir. We saw Diantha and Mega Gardevoirs.
Okay.
Mega Storage Wars?
Yes, Mega Storage Wars.
That's my favorite show.
Korra. There was only one episode this week.
Korra, the Explorer.
Which felt very strange and short. Because the past few weeks I've gotten accustomed to sitting down and watching Korra
like
for an
your
hour.
Penis.
And it was like, before I knew it, it was over. Like my penis. on Facebook, it's got a page. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it did feel much shorter, but it was a really cool episode. The fight scenes in this episode were really awesome.
They were. I loved it. The fight with all the benders.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that shit was amazing. He had, like, the combustion chick and the lava bender, and, like, it was really good.
She's perhaps the one that become a Blaziken chick.
The Combusky.
Sorry.
The Combusty chick.
But yeah, it was really just a really cool fight scene that sort of made use of everybody that was not passed out. I guess it was Korra. But in the environment as well, like they trapped them all in that like metal cage and they're like, oh, they got him now. And then they just melted it. And Bolin's like, he lava bended. That's so cool. I mean, no.
I liked Pabu.
Pabu is the best.
Like, I love how he's over there, and he's like, oh, fuck, there's stuff going on, and Bolin's like, go back to sleep, Pabu, it's okay. He's like, no, seriously, dude, there's fucking shit going on. And, like, he looks up, oh, fuck, they're taking Korra. That's how I heard it, anyway.
You know, it's funny.
Explicit in Kevin's version.
Yeah, I don't remember it being that much. It was funny when Korra sort of starting to wake up and she was looking at them. I thought she was going to get up and do something. Like, they made it seem like, oh, she's lying in wait, and then she's going to kick their ass. But she's like, no, they got this. I think I'll just nap. They seem pretty secure.
Well, you know, and then we find out that, like, the truth seer guy is the one that was, like, that betrayed them and you know, led
Hydra.
Them. Yeah, he was Hydra all along. It was funny because when they were doing the interrogation of the guards, like that was my thought is, what if it's that guy? Like, we're just like, we've established that we can't trust anyone because they're a traitor, and we're letting him interrogate people even though he should logically not be able to be trusted either. And then, yep, turns out we can't trust him.
He's got a secret bunker.
Like, something that was pretty cool. Like,
but
they caught on real quick.
Yeah, he had his homemade bomb.
I love Varric when he was talking about like the plan to set someone up, and he's like, "It worked brilliantly." Marco's like, "I know, you did it to me last year," and he's like, "See?"
Yeah, he's like, "See, it worked brilliantly." Like, God damn it, he's right.
I like Varric in general. Like,
yeah.
So I'm kind of glad he's back. He's just hilarious. Him and Julie. That shit's awesome. But,
what's going on?
I can't wait till we get more Korra.
Lynn did the thing that, what's her name, Toph used to do, where she, like, senses people's movement by slamming a foot on the floor.
That was so cool. That brought back nostalgic memories of The Last Airbender with Toph, like, because that was one of my favorite things.
I can't think of much else. They're basically on their way now to go hunt him down, because they told, or what's her name? What's Lynn's sister's name? I always forget this.
Sue.
There we go. She sort of led Lynn to believe she was going to let him stay in the city and then let him escape. So that's where we left off. And the episode premieres online tomorrow, doesn't it? So we're not going to actually have to have stopping for discussions here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, tomorrow's the first.
Is it starting right away or is it taking a week break? I don't remember.
I thought I saw that it was going up tomorrow at noon. Or today
tomorrow.
At noon. Now.
Okay, cool.
August 1st.
Yeah, so that should be good. Because I really want to see me some more Korra. So that's good.
What else? You guys want to talk about?
I just want an opinion on this. Everyone was speculating that Sue was working with the Truthseer.
I'm not willing to rule anybody out. You never know.
You know, you never know. It's certainly
possible.
She
could be Hydra. Look what happened with Ward. I was like, la la la, and then he's like, boom! I'm like, oh, he was Hydra.
Like, it's certainly possible. I would hope not, just because I kind of like her. But, yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, just because, you know, here she is, she's having Korra leave on her own, without Lynn, without, you know, going back to Republic City where she'd be, you know, supposedly be safe. So, I mean, yeah, I guess there is that possibility, that it's a setup.
Like, you'd think, well, why would they spend all this time going over her backstory and making us like her? But then that's exactly why they would do it.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
but, yeah, I'm not willing to rule anybody out, really. You never know.
Yeah, I was just curious.
I was like, well, everyone settle down. Simple no would have sufficed.
But that's what I like about Korra, is that you can... There's just so much to it, and except for the ratings.
I like how we... unless it's blanking out, we haven't seen Zuko and, like, Korra's dad and everyone who was looking for them breaking out. Like, they broke out, and they're like, well, we couldn't stop it. Might as well go have a cold one. Like, they threw in the towel.
Well, we failed.
Oh, well. What are you gonna do?
Smoke them if you got them.
So what else for Ramble Time? You guys got any TMNT things you want to talk about?
Well, they shared a bunch of new figures. Rocksteady and Bebop. The Season 3 designs.
Bebop Anonymous.
All of which excited. Rocksteady and Bebop's figures look really good. So I'm very pleased with those, and I can't wait to actually see them in the show. The Season 3 stuff also... Like, the whole Mystic Turtles thing, I want to see that play out, because, again, those just look really cool.
But they said something about, like, the turtles are going to get run out of the city at the end of the season. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, like, I want to see how that gets, you know, led into and what causes it.
A bunch of angry Michael Bay haters.
Probably. Then they had Muckman and Joe Eyeball.
Not Muckman. He's going to make a mess.
Like,
it is sidekicks, the Grimer boys.
Professor Oak needs to watch out. Oh, Jesus. But I remember them from the original show, and I'm glad to see that they're kind of coming back because they were just kind of funny. And then Mondo Gecko.
He's related to the Geico Gecko and King Mondo.
I think
pretty terrifying.
I think he looks a little weird. I guess because he's different than what I'm used to. Because nothing beats the original. But at the same time, he fits with the way the rest of it is all drawn and animated and everything. So I'm really excited to see what kind of backstory they give both those characters and how they're going to fit in with everything else. They also showed that they are in fact definitely doing Classic's Shredder and Krang's android body, which makes me happy. Because Classic figures are awesome, and I would love more Classic's collection turtles.
I've always really liked the original cartoons Krang too. I don't know why. I just always have, so I'm glad that they're making that into a Classics figure. I still need to get Bebop and Rocksteady. I never bought them.
Oh, really? I need to get the movie ones. It's probably Pat Fraley's voice you like so much, Brian.
Yeah. Definitely.
Dawson's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on now. You said a name.
What the hell is a Pat Fraley? He's free to pat people whatever he wants.
I'm trying to think of what else was shown. Because they talked about, a lot of shit. Like, they showed... what was the other... They showed head-dropping turtles, some mutating turtles. Like, ones that turn from... God, why
head-dropping? Sounds like when you said you dropped your kid on a head. I mean...
That happened to me.
You dropped the kid on its head?
No, I dropped myself on my head.
Brian picked himself up. He was wrestling. Brian gets rowdy.
I'm excited just simply because I had the head popping turtles or whatever when I was a kid. That came out originally.
I don't like the new ones.
Head popping.
The head dropping. They do look a little weird.
Is it popping or dropping?
The way that they end up as the normal turtle, their hind legs.
Go the forward. Mutants.
Yeah, the mutating ones.
I thought you were talking about the head dropping. The head dropping ones have weird proportions to them. The original head droppings were just regular sized turtle figures that you could just push the head in. It was spring loaded, and you squeeze the legs, and it pops up.
Those are fine, whatever. But I don't even remember looking at those. But the mutation ones are just. I liked those as a kid. The original ones, but the new ones just are strange.
I love the old ones. I have the Mutating Raph from the 2003 line, which basically was original.
Sorry, I just
one.
Thought of a joke.
That's awesome. It probably sucks. Which was basically just the original Raph, Mutating Raph, but with the 2003 head and paint scheme. There wasn't much difference to it, and so that made me happy. And that's what I was hoping these would be, and then they're not. I was also hoping maybe, for some, a Dog Pound one or something. A Fish Face, just so that we could have, human form Zever and Bradford. I think that would be cool. They had a... Mutating Rocksteady and Bebop originally in the old line, so I would think those would be fun to have for the kids and for people like me who were basically a kid.
And now a word from us kids.
Yeah.
Arthur. Fine.
God, I hate you so much, Dawson.
I want to talk about Arthur. So.
Fucking Babar. But...
Hashtag Team Arthur.
I think what else... There's something I want to talk about... Then they have those turtles that like the mix and match parts, because for some reason that's all the rage now. I don't. You saw those, Brian?
Yeah, I don't get why They, like you said, it's just a, it's a thing for like every toy line now, regardless of whether it makes sense or not.
Transformers is doing it. Marvel toys are doing it. You, now Turtles, like it. Like, I get it's cool to like pull people's limbs off and swap them together. Here's a spoiler alert.
I do that every day.
Like, the thing is, you could do that with figures before.
I prefer the original Dr. Frankenstein who did this.
You could do it before, just broke the figure usually if you did it wrong.
I don't really call it a feature, Kevin.
I mean, their limbs come apart and go back together. Like, it's not anything special.
I just want to point out that while my entire feed was like 97% Power Ranger stuff, Kiefer just kept popping up with a little random turtle excitement. It was just really funny.
I know, right? And then now I hear him saying something about like they're talking about adding Toka into the show, which I've been thinking about since they introduced Rob. Toka, the snapping turtle.
Toga.
Are you coming to the Toka party?
I kind of always figured it would be fish face mutated, but they said it's not. So I guess I'm happy about that. I don't really care either way, I guess. But
well, on the one hand, it made sense insofar as because Bradford became Razar, but on the other, it doesn't because like for a dog to become like more feral and become a wolf, it makes a little bit more sense because they're pretty much the same creature. For a fish to become a turtle. Makes a little bit less sense.
Cool.
Right.
So, for it not to be, Zever, I'm completely fine with. Like, in fact, I remember, you know, I was like, I don't want it to be Zever. That would be weird. But yeah, I am glad that they are considering adding him in there, just because it would fit. Who knows? Maybe like something happens to Zever, and so. Bradford gets a new partner so that it legit is like Toka and Razar. You never really know what these people, what they're going to do. But let's see. Was there anything else? I don't know. They show, you know what it was? They showed the Karai figure. And she comes with a Karai. It really looks like a part snake, part human head, and then the full-on snake head, which is pretty neat that you know you can sit there and swap them out because she has that ability. That's fun. I don't think they showed Ice Cream Kitty. Ice Cream Kitty is getting a figure.
It's just gonna sit there.
I don't care. It's Ice Cream fucking Kitty.
It should be a plush.
Like Ice Cream Kitty and then that monkey.
The monkey.
The monkey is getting a figure also. Again, why? I don't know. They wanted more things to make toys of. They said, which mutant haven't we given a toy to? And someone was like, the monkey. Like, brilliant, Jesus. Johnson. I don't know why.
Johnson?
I don't know why there's a guy named Johnson automatically that works for them, but Johnson thought of it. And Johnson,
we're doing the end scene of any Austin Powers movie.
Yes. But yeah, I'm like so very excited about the future of Turtles right now because it's very stable. There's a really good toy line that I love and I can buy things from. And I can review, even though that means they don't get the best videos. It's something cool I can do. And I get to share daily because that's always fun. I watch the 3-year-old get super excited over Ninja Turtles, like all the time. So yeah.
I'm just fucking glad it's doing so well.
I really am. Like, just because of my overall bias and I guess some kind of nostalgia insofar as like, you know, like that's how I grew up is Ninja Turtles. So the fact that it can be back again and do well and keep doing well, because I mean, it did well when it came back the last time for a while. And then now it's back a third time and still able to kick ass and do well. Like, that just shows you how awesome the fucking Turtles are. Can kick ass and take names with three sets of kids. Take that, Power Rangers.
According to JDF, it's got 3D kids. JDF promises 3D kids for 2015. 3D year 2015.
Well, in all fairness, JDF fucking probably doesn't know how to count to three, so... but, yeah, it's... I love Turtles. I just...
No, who can count to three? Austin St. John, nothing beats the OG counter. Sorry.
You know what's the only thing that would make me happier for Turtles is if we got full season sets for the show. That would make me happier.
I want a full season set of the 2003 series.
I did see that. I think the first season is supposed to be getting a box set this September.
Oh, is it? Oh.
That's good news. Yeah. I saw the volumes yesterday at the store, and I was like, I hate that they're just releasing them like this, because I don't want to just buy volumes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's awesome. I hope that with all the excitement over it lately, though, they do have the 2003 series eventually, though, because I really want to rewatch it.
Yeah,
well, I barely remember anything from it.
I know they did, like, they had, at the end of whoever... owning it or something before Nickelodeon had it, they had they had like season 1 part 1, season 1 part 2. They did that for seasons 1 and 2. Season 3 is like a 8 volume compendium or something. Like, it's, they're not like the shitty 4 episodes per disc volumes, but there's still a bunch of fucking volumes that just did not need to exist. And then season 4 is its own set, as is season 5. Season 6 is broken into two, that's fast forward, is broken into two sets. They never did release season 7, which is Back to the Sewer, on DVD. And I never actually saw the, that's kind of when it ended, is after Back to the Sewer, because it was fucking stupid. Like, it really didn't make any sense.
But they went back to the sewer.
Well, so, I mean,
they just were going home.
Well, like, a lot of people didn't like fast forward. I actually did. A lot. I thought their like futuristic weapons were pretty cool, and I liked a lot of the characters in it. But like, then they did go back to the sewer, and like, Splinter was broken up in a bunch of little like data bits, and they had to like go into like this virtual world and find them, and it was like a cyber shredder on top of like the 8 other shredders in that show. And it seemed like overly convoluted. And so I guess that's kind of what caused it to kind of go down. But whatever, I guess. You know, it had run for 7 years at that point, so, you know, it's pretty good. For most kids' shows, anyway. But I was just upset I didn't get a DVD of it, because I still would want to watch it and have, like, that complete... You know, it's like, to know, okay, I have the complete show. But, yeah, we already got 4 confirmed seasons of this one. And if they keep going the way they're going, they're just going to... Any day now, be like, yeah, season 5 confirmed. Next day, season 6, 7, and 8 confirmed. Like, holy shit, dude. Like, I've never seen a show get renewed for this many seasons this quickly.
It's weird how they manage everything.
Yeah. Like, they just keep giving it more seasons. But you know what? That's fine. As long as they can keep putting out quality product and not have too many different Leonardos, then we'll be all right.
I almost just said I didn't notice a difference in this episode, then I realized there was no episode to watch.
That's awesome. But yeah, so that's that's a thing. I don't think there's anything else to discuss with turtles.
No. Nope.
I think I pretty much covered it all. Kiefer's probably going to find some obscure thing I didn't talk about, but that's fine. He can do that. Douchebag. So Doctor Who comes back in like 3 weeks. That's a thing, huh, guys?
We're not going to be here for it.
Everything happens while we're gone. Doctor Who airs. Coral will be on Friday, obviously. The Dan Ball dub starts that weekend.
What? We better cancel the trip.
And you can buy like $20 model kits now here, so that's a thing.
We did this.
When did we do this?
The very beginning. And it's time before time.
Well, I was still trying to live at that point.
But Power Rangers doesn't start till the weekend after.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny.
Well, no, you can go to Morphicon and they can promote it to people who are already going to watch it. Makes perfect sense to me.
There's probably some Sentai purists there that are not going to watch it.
Well, yeah, the people who are like, Blue Ranger, yay! Yeki is the best. Fuck Jason.
Let's move on.
Just like a disappointed crow. It's great. Alright.
I think Aerosol just got cancer. I'm sorry.
Me and Dawson's thing.
Oh, yeah, Falling Skies.
Kaku Ranger?
Oh, yes.
Cack Ranger.
I mean, it's fine if you don't. I'm perfectly fine with getting this over sooner.
Who likes cock?
I don't actually have a whole lot to say about Cock Ranger, honestly. It was a lot of filler episodes this batch, and the Juso fighters just came out of nowhere. And
they could just throw them out there?
So did Punk Rock Rito. That was about the extent.
Yeah, you like Punk Rock Rito,
yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty fillery, except for... it was like 15 or 16, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But majority of it has just been filler. I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot discussion worthy.
Yeah.
I feel like there was one thing I was going to mention, but I can't think of it now. But yeah, maybe there'll be some more next week, but this week's been pretty basic.
I actually really like 15 and 16.
It was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the introduction of Freddie Prinze Jr. and his group of female ninjas. I thought it was a really cool couple of episodes where he's sending like 7 people out to kill the Kaku Rangers. They're just sort of picking them off one by one and then leading them into the two, like, yokai brothers who are just beating the crap out of them. I thought it was really cool. And I liked the follow-up episode where it's just mostly Sasuke just acting like a ninja for once. Because when the show actually does ninja-y stuff, it's actually really good. I liked seeing him sneak around and kind of, you know, infiltrate their little base that they had set up there.
AKA be a ninja.
Awesome. I did watch tomorrow's episodes just because
I could tell by the spider thing.
I won't get to tomorrow, but
here we go. My internet came back.
19, I think. Yeah, 19 is pretty fillery as well, but 20 sees the return of the Kunoichis, and it's actually a pretty good one. It's basically just Sasuke trying to outrun the female ninja squad and while at the same time protecting this kid, and it's actually pretty good. Once again, they're sort of plotting out how to like kill off the Kaku Rangers one by one. It's actually really neat.
Now I get to look forward to it, so thank you for that. Because I've been enjoying it, definitely. But it hasn't been like super high on my list, but it's still kind of early on. So it's nice to know that there's some good episodes on the horizon, so I'm looking forward to that.
I don't know what their normal voices sound like.
What?
I'm still used to hearing them fast. I don't think I've ever heard them speak at a normal speed.
Oh my god.
It took me forever to figure out what the fuck you were talking about.
What?
I watched
Dawson awesome watches speed. Everything on fast forward.
Oh. What a dumbass.
I have no patience. I can't take it. But, like, it helps
with
the filler
ones.
We're not a
doctor, so you shouldn't have patience.
Because, like, in the filler episodes, I get the gist of the episode, and it allows me to sort of enjoy it a little more, so that I'm not just sitting here thinking, oh my god, I wish this was over. Because on, like, non-important ones, it's just nice just to get the gist of what was going on.
I really haven't felt that way this season. The whole, oh my god, I wish this was over kind of thing.
Well, after the last few, I didn't want to give myself the chance, so I just started full speed ahead. And now I feel like a speed superhero that just can't go back to go to normal speed. Like, I can't do it. Like, it's like, why is everything so slow? So I can't do it. But I'm still getting it. And Jiraiya sounds really funny in the roll call with his voice all fast. He's like, Jiraiya! It's really funny. And just him in general is even funnier in 2x speed because he speaks English. He's like, oh my gosh! Jiraiya. Anyway, that's pretty... Oh, Filings, guys, I almost forgot. I actually really like this episode this week a lot. Not a lot, like, action-wise or anything happened, but I just really liked the sort of conflict over Lexi. Because I could really see both points. Obviously, I don't want them to kill her because she's hot. But, well, it's, unless she turns into a bug, and then it's like, whatever. No, but, or an Ispeni. But, you know, he's Tom's daughter and, you know, all their family, so it's like, it seems ridiculous that they'd want to kill her, but at the same time, from the outside perspective of the rest of the second mass, she's just like a potential threat, you know, and she's been meeting with the Ispeni, so I thought it was just kind of an interesting little debate that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I completely get both sides. And it's one of those situations where you don't really know what you would personally do.
Yeah.
Because it's such a back and forth that it's a very human sort of situation in a show that is definitely sci-fi.
Yeah.
So I like that. It's relatable, and it's something that's definitely believable. But like you said, not a whole lot action-wise happened. But I'm the kind of person who finds, even if it's not that full of action, if as long as there's pivotal character moments and things keep moving, then I definitely am entertained.
Yeah.
So.
And especially after last week's filler one, I just found this one to be really fascinating.
Yeah.
And of course it's Pope leading the charge of people that want to kill her, because Pope's always got to be a dick.
Every time that man has, like, a redemption,
he does something completely opposite. Stupid. He's like, oh crap, I was the hero, better be a dick and want to kill Tom's daughter. But it's like, I got the perspective, but Pope definitely comes on way too strong. Mm-hmm. And I did think... it seems weird that Hal is with the other camp. It just seems kind of strange. Like, I get that he wants to protect the rest of the second mass, but at the same time, it's his sister, and it seems weird. Mm-hmm. Same with Maggie. It just seems kind of weird that she would, like, suggest killing her, even though she's been suspicious of her. Just obviously, at the end, she sort of went over to the other side, because it's like, oh, Ben angst. But, I don't know, that just seemed kind of strange for them.
There's that dream near sex scene there.
Yeah, so there's that triangle going on now that Karen's dead.
It's really creepy-ass triangle.
Yeah, it really is.
Why does Ben just like, keep getting Hal sloppy seconds? Younger.
I don't know. But that's a really weird decision they made. I'm not entirely sure where they're going with that, but you know, they haven't touched on it a whole lot. I think they briefly mentioned it, but there's a whole like relatable situation with Ben because of what he went through with all the people being prejudiced to him when he had the, well, he still has them, the spikes from the harness.
Right.
Hairnet. I just thought of that. And then there was that whole weird thing where Anne went into a trance so that she could remember being impregnated.
Did you just call it a trance?
Yeah.
A trance?
What's wrong with that? Whatever. She went into
into a tranny, and
she did. That's where the answers lie. That's essentially what Lexi is. She's an alien human tranny. But
I don't think that's true.
But she went into that and essentially learned no information on her own when she just saw that Lexi chose her over Karen. But then, like, somehow Lexi could talk to her, which was weird. And now she woke up. I was thinking she was still trapped. But yeah, it was a really good episode, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next week when Lexi gets out of the cocoon. I don't think she's mutating because we've seen scenes with her in the previews that haven't happened yet. So
yeah,
unless she goes all cry on us.
Thanks, previews.
And can just mutate back and forth between Sveni and human. You're the worst. I like how the Volm are like, we're going to get the fuck out of here.
We're going to get out of here. One is dangerous, and two, we keep blazing through this CG budget.
So we really can't even really afford to be here, literally. So.
Yep.
Okay.
Vaginas.
Time to move on.
Because now it's... Is this just a Facebook question, or we got some clever title for this thing?
Yeah. No, it's just... No,
just rehash the jingle? Okay. Because yep. Now it's time for the Facebook question of the week for now.
Go, go!
Because it's not it's bi-weekly. Like a,
it's like the MMPR rehash theme, but with Facebook.
Okay.
All right, well, this week's question... just like all the other ones, our favorite ranger, and this week was blue, thanks to Brian demanding it last week. Was going to be pink.
I just figured you were going in that order.
Brian's like, blue! I'm like, well, now it's set in stone. Let's see, our favorite blue ranger was the question for this week.
Patrick Eland, I'll go with that, says SPD blue.
SPD emergency. Deener, neener, 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 neener. Power Rangers, SPD, Power Rangers to the rescue.
Am I next? Am I two? I can't remember. Yes. Okay.
We've been doing this for years.
Danger. Joe Bailey says, Toy from Ninja Storm because that surfing outfit. My penis is growing.
It's growing.
Gojo's penis, Gojo's penis.
It's growing.
Speed of the wind. It's swift like thunder.
Oh my god.
God.
That's what I was thinking of when the turtles discussion, because I was reading the answers, and I thought of a theme song. Swift like thunder in my head, and I couldn't
control it. I'm legit uncomfortable right now.
I don't know what I am.
Alright, how appropriate for me to get this one. Rob Zwetslute.
Sorry.
Hey. Never float your boat, bro. I have a real soft spot for Dax. He was fun. I'm sorry. You should be. I think of all the blues, I think he's my least favorite.
Brody Taylor Gage says Bridge because he was blue at the end of SPD.
I remember that fucker. No, not Bridge. I meant Brody Taylor Gage.
I don't remember Bridge. Who's that?
Lester Barrett says, still Rocky.
I don't understand. Is that like his favorite red? Is that what happened? Is that why it's a joke?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Some guy named Chris Hutchinson says, Flynn, because he's Scottish sexy bus driver. I like the idea of a sexy bus driver.
Like Miss Chokes on Dick.
Hi, Miss Chokes on Deck. Miss Crabtree. Miss Chokes on Deck. TKD Tigray says, I had to say it like Aerosol does. Sky from SPD. Jealous of not being red. It has daddy issues. Tries to kiss Kruger's ass all the time. Then grew into a good team member and leader. Douchebag turned better man who doesn't love that. You need punctuation skills, bro.
Doesn't love what? Will he just do saying. Anything for love, but he won't do that?
Best part is... like, and then I'm reading it, I didn't see ass at first. I'm like, tries to kiss Kruger. What? It's getting weird.
That's a slash fic I didn't want to see.
I mean, if that's what you're into, that's what you're into. I'm not going to...
Christians, I can't talk. I'm sorry.
That's normal for you.
Christian Shear says, thank you guys so much for enjoying my comment on the last Facebook question, especially since I thought you guys were going to think it was stupid.
What was his answer?
I don't remember.
We just made this guy
I
sad
remember
now.
Bucho-kun.
I do too.
I don't remember what it said, but I remember him commenting. And that's the important part, I hope.
I remember that he's a mute.
Anyway, my favorite Blue Ranger is Max from Wild Force. Because he looks like the guy from Nate's Vlogs, but 12, and with an afro.
Oh, he's the one that called Zordon the biggest child sex offender.
Oh, okay, there we go.
I just went and looked it up, so I would make him feel less bad by himself.
Now I'm just going to continuously picture Max as Nate. Max just walks in. He didn't even get a gun.
Guns solve all TV shows.
Speaking of guns, Andrew Booth says RPM blue because Scottish. Plus he wore a skirt, and you have to be pretty badass to pull off a skirt, or just be Catgirl Hikari. It's a kilt, bro.
Yeah, that's like two people who did that. Is this a Sentai answer?
I send it back.
Not only is it Sentai answer, but it's the wrong color. It's green. Alan, what are you doing?
I send it back twice.
So I'll move on to the next one. Then
Anchor Crab has been trying to write so much, he's just completely confused and turned around.
Derek Zarton says, Madison from Mystic Force, because she was one of the few likable people in Mystic Force, and she kissed Toad Doggy Kruger.
It's
okay, just doing it. says TJ.
Jared Castile says, Billy, the original Blue Ranger, because he is the smartest.
I can't tell if that's a joke answer or not. I'm be honest, I don't know if that's a joke answer or not. What the fuck is this? Who the fuck?
John Michael Dugan, I'm going to read your first one because it was your first one. Leave it at that. Technically Bridge, but we never actually saw him as a Blue Ranger, so excluding him, I'd have to go with TJ. He was a much better Blue Ranger than a Red Ranger. He had enough leadership skills to be a good second in command, but it was good. He had someone to defer to in certain situations. I mean, under him as Red Ranger, they lost their Zords and the Power Chamber. He worked better as Blue.
Where are we? Okay. Ash Ketchum's long-lost brother. Been a while since I've done one of these. My favorite Blue Ranger is easily Sky from SPD. In my opinion, weird accent there, sorry. He had the most development of all the Blue Rangers. He was a stereotypical pompous ass, and then he had an actual reason.
Okay, we'll see. Let's see. Yes. Edgar Joestar Quick, so he's gone from Sunbro to Joestar, says Jellymon, because he seems like a Blue Ranger. I approve of your answer, sir.
He said me for red, and I think I read his. So this is kind of creepy, but...
you know what? I like this. I like Blue Ranger, so I approve of your answer.
Peter Lee says Sky because he was a dang it. He was a determined badass.
It was such a short one.
RJ Sills says,
RJ?
Flynn McAllister. Forgot that was his last name. He tried to be a hero multiple times. Hold on. Tried to be... Oh my god, my head just exploded. He tried to be hero multiple end times and failed until he became a ranger and was able to help people in his own way. Oh, and he was Scottish.
Corey Gong says Samurai Blue because he is my hero.
I forgot about that video.
I did too. Joel James Jagasia says Sky from SPD, also alliteration.
Wait a minute. You already commented once before. I'm moving on to Chenix. Chenix Stewart says Flynn from RPM. Like how he fixes it. Oh, I like how he fixes everything and was pretty funny. Plus, he had an accent and wore a skirt one time.
Guilt.
No one ever says I'm moving on to Chenix.
George Hansen Jr. says, my favorite Blue Ranger has to be Flynn, Ranger Operator Series Blue from RPM.
He I appreciate you put his full name in there like that.
There's an innuendo somewhere in here. He had a fast tongue.
A lot of ladies like him.
Oh, God.
And justice, and was the last Scotsman in existence. He developed so much over the course of the series, but never got to finish any of the three smoothies he tried to make.
That's certainly like
the
right.
Poor Flynn, what about Jake? The thing I want to find out most is not who returns, who wins. I want to find out if Jake ever gets to enjoy a Froyo. Seriously. J.M. Baxter says, I actually think it's a tie between Rocky and TJ. For me, it's funny how they were both Red Rangers before Blue, but I remember them as Blue Rangers.
Whoa.
Blue. I thought he blew my mind. Like, colors, shutter focus. I thought Rocky was a much better Blue Ranger than TJ, while TJ remained the same leader he was in Turbo despite not being red. Red. Oh, I said it like that.
Thanks for reading that wrong. Eric Beltran says Flynn RPM because he's Scottish, lol. Jake, he's cool, brave, heroic. He's a ranger I can easily relate with. I don't know what Jake had to do with anything.
Jeff Moses says, I like Justin just because when I was younger, liked having a kid ranger.
Kevin Phantom Thong says, Flynn because duh. His accent's cool, and I have to agree with Telephone Booth. His account was pretty dope. Goddamn Scots. But Kevin is a close second since he is the wind beneath my wings.
Thank you. Oh, not me. You meant Black Kevin.
Tommy Lulu says, Lulu Spencer, Blake from Ninja Storm because he's gangsta, wears a gold chain, rides bikes, he's a ninja, and he's Asian. Peace out, yo. Bitch, he was Navy. That doesn't count. Pushes up mirror glasses.
I'm going to pretend you didn't just say that. He's not even Asian.
Hunter was a Wiccan.
The guy's name's Jorge, for God's sakes. He's not Asian.
I'll go.
I thought that's how we did things.
So my pick would have to be Sky. I mean, I have a huge bias towards SPD in the first place, being my favorite of all the PR seasons, but I just really dug the character development for him. It worked. I mean, parts of the story was written from Deck Ranger, but I didn't know that at the time, and frankly, I don't give a damn. So, he gets my pick.
Though, idea. Flynn, I don't give a damn.
Flynn's definitely a close second, because I really do love Flynn. He's awesome.
He's but, Scottish, for God's sakes.
My huge bias towards Speedy would have to make me pick Sky.
My favorite Blue is Tommy.
You know he's going to be Blue one day.
Exactly. I'm preempting it. No, obviously it's Billy. Because he was first. He was in Mighty Morphin. He had those
glasses.
His
talking was so much more natural. Everyone talks like that.
He did. You know, everyone uses those big words. I love the big words. He made a flying car from a Zero Ranger prop.
From that one episode.
And then, you know, I mean, that's just cool right there. He made all those cool inventions, got the power coins blown up in season 3. I mean, how do you not love that?
Why did the Zero Rangers have a car? I don't remember.
It was a family.
To those monkey people.
Oh. Yeah, what's in there?
See, it all makes sense. It was clearly the monkey people's, Brian. Okay. Use logic.
Well, the monkey people were being punished by God, who is the combination of three dinosaurs and, like, two beasts.
That's usually three dinosaurs, an elephant, and a cat.
Yeah.
And, you know, he
How
just,
many answers are you going to give? Oh, sorry.
I'm giving reasons why Billy's the best. Fuck you. No, my answer is probably going to be TJ. I just really liked him as in Space Blue. I do agree with the person who said Rocky was a better blue than he was a red.
He fit more because the role of red wasn't leader anymore, so once red became leader again, that color fit him more.
Yeah, like I really enjoyed him in Zeo a lot more than I did in 2 seasons of MMPR.
Tyrannosaurus! oh, Rocky.
But yeah, Flynn and Sky would probably be, like, you know, second best after fucking TJ. Because, like Brian, I love those seasons a lot. So big props to Madison and Tori for being hot.
My answer is also TJ, though. I really do like TJ. And, you know, they did lose the command center under with the new Rangers, but I thought he was actually a good Red Ranger, too. I'm probably going to rehash this point in my Turbo Ramble, but what I liked about TJ was that up till the point that set of people was introduced, you were always conveyed that the Rangers were good people by, like, forced dialogue that was practically a PSA. But with TJ, the way he came in and saved Tommy, and you knew he was a good person without them telling you. And I liked that you could just tell he was a good guy and he didn't have to, like, look into the camera and be like, remember, kids, don't fight. And so I just really liked him. I thought he had just a good attitude, and he made both good Red and Blue Rangers. So
remember, kids, don't masturbate in public. Oh, okay. Thanks, TJ.
When did that happen?
Well, he's black, so
he has a
massive penis.
Well, not completely off topic, but it's about TJ. There was a really funny outfit in Turbo where he wore, like, overalls but had one of the straps undone.
He looked like
a 3-year-old that just got aged up. It was hilarious. I'm like, is this, like, all grown up with the Rugrats but with TJ? Like, it was hilarious.
My God.
It was great. Like, he's wearing it around the command center. I'm like, how are they allowing this to happen? Anyway.
Yes. I actually like more blues than I do most other colors.
I agree.
That actually holds true for both PR and Sentai, really.
Is that little fish bitch?
Sestro. I forgot about Sestro.
Having recently just rewatched RPM, it actually did kind of cement my love for Flynn.
Masturbation.
But funny enough, I actually have to disagree on the idea that he developed over the course of the series, because he didn't. But that kind of goes towards who Flynn is in a way. God, I'm trying to... I had this all planned out, too.
You can do it, Aerosol. I believe in you. Not really, I don't. I'm sorry, you suck.
Just believe! Brian said it so half-heartedly. He was like, just believe!
From the time that he was a kid to the point when he became a Ranger, to the point where the series ended, he was pretty much the same person. He was just this, he was this kid who grew up really admiring people who did good things, policemen, firefighters, the Peace Corps.
Corpse?
So, yeah, corpse.
Just checking with you.
And, of course, like, comic book superheroes and stuff like that. So you can kind of understand why he would be kind of the, I don't want to say goody-goody of the group, but he was the more, like, morally positive person out of the seven of them. And with how much RPM kind of portrayed it, basically everything in, like, moral shades of gray, even the civilians who, you know, they openly showed criminals and stuff like that. And
how many shades of gray were there? Were there 50?
No. Seeing Flynn be kind of like the one person who wasn't, who didn't really like jeopardize his morals for anyone or anything. He was kind of the one good guy throughout the series. Even like how he became a ranger, everyone else sort of did, sort of became a ranger for different means, you know, a sense of duty, self-preservation, finding themselves, stuff like that. Even Gem and Gemma just became rangers to blow stuff up. But
that's fun though.
But Flynn just, he legitimately wanted to help people. And I think what makes Flynn Flynn is the fact that he's so unwavering in his beliefs. He doesn't change regardless of how much people want him to or think he should. So yeah.
Flynn. You know, I have to say though, with RPM, you mentioned how it didn't develop. I, with the exception of like maybe Dylan a little bit or parts of Ziggy, none of the RPM cast really changed over the series. I always felt that they'd more so with their focus episodes showed how they changed from the way they used to be to where they became Rangers.
Yeah.
Like more of a backstory development as opposed to over the series development. Because I really don't remember any of them drastically changing other than, you know, Dylan becoming a Ranger and maybe a bit of Ziggy since he kind of accidentally became a Ranger. The only person
even
to
then,
ever accidentally
become
a Ranger.
He was pretty much the same guy for most of the series.
But most of their development was from flashbacks.
Really, really more of the development went towards Doc K.
It did. RPM. All right, so I think that's all our answers. And
you know
next
who's
week,
the blue? Chad.
Who the fuck's Chad?
Yeah.
Lightspeed Rescue.
Oh! I thought it was the Charlie's Angels reference. Anyway. But
my Chad is hazy, you know.
Next week we'll finally be pink, despite Brian's constant campaigning.
It's not going to be green or yellow or...
Nope, pink.
Purple.
Well, there's not even going to be a purple category. The choices are RJ or a potential future male or female Dino Charge Ranger.
I think it definitely, we should definitely should have a purple category. Just
who is your favorite purple ranger in the category RJ?
Basically, just, everyone just so that we can around all... RJ.
Like, I wasn't sure how to handle, like, after I get past the core colors, I think I'm just going to leave it open to
the favorite
six slash any extra. So. Anyway, now it's time for
final thingies. I got a thingy and it's not final.
Yep. So, answer that question when it goes up.
Remember to submit questions for the interview that is next week.
Yep, we got more time now. And I don't know what to say.
Bye.